Let's turn in our scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 22. 1 Thessalonians 5. Last week we learned about individual responsibilities. Today I want to emphasize corporate responsibilities with regard to what God wants to do among us. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. I suppose if there is one topic more than any other that has caused churches to divide, be suspicious of each other, refuse to be with each other, it's arguments over the Holy Spirit. You see that? It's amazing how one third of the Godhead can take up so much of our thoughts that we divide over it. Now, we understand if someone is saying Christ was not God, we get that. But even if we're just discussing the normal activity of the Holy Spirit, we're ready to leave because we don't want to get into the discussions about it. Now, we're not going to get in any argument here this morning because I refuse to argue. The Holy Spirit is God. He is here now. His presence was purchased by Jesus, God the Son, and given to us at the discretion of God the Father. We want to talk about his activity among us in terms of our responsibility to him as he oversees and works in and among us. I mentioned to you last week that in the second church that we served, when I was preaching through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, one of the ladies who was assigned the responsibility of signing for a deaf lady in our church came to me when I used the word charismata, which is the word that's used, 1 Corinthians 12:4. And she said, "I will never say that word to any deaf person here." And I said, "Well, it's a biblical word." "Yeah, but it's so confusing. I'm just not going to sign it to this family." We don't want to get to the place where we talk about the Holy Spirit and we are so afraid of being in one ditch or the other on the road when we talk about the Spirit that we get sidetracked from what God has for us. So the two ditches are we take every other row out in our church sanctuary so we can jump over chairs and hoot and holler and run around. That's one ditch. The other ditch is being so stoic, we are never moved because we refuse to listen to the Spirit. Both are ditches. both are in error. The truth is between them. And so with as much respect as we as human beings can muster, as God graces us, we'll show respect to the Holy Spirit today as He teaches us. Now, if we look at some of His work, we'll come up with, this is just a partial list. He does have a gender, brooded over creation. That's a nesting term, a mothering term, if you will, when creation came into being at the word of God the Father through the work of God the Son. He points to things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says, the prophets in the Old Testament tried to find out what the Spirit in them was pointing to when He was pointing to Jesus Christ. So He points things out. We have to be aware that sometimes He points things out. He sanctions things. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and following. When Christ was baptized and came up out of the water, what happened? He saw the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove and light on Jesus, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God left no doubt, God the Father, that Jesus was God the Son. He helps. John 14, 16. He teaches John 14, 26. He speaks. He talks. John 16, 13. He seals us so that there is no doubt we belong to God. We don't take the seal of Antichrist because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He fills continually. The word is in progressive form in Ephesians 5. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. He convicts. He commends. Church service, Paul, Barnabas, and others were there. They were praying, worshiping, and the Holy Spirit commended Paul and Barnabas to the work of missions. He intercedes when we don't know how to pray. He intercedes for us. He predicts the future. God said through Paul, chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, He predicts the future. These are just some of the works that He does. And we can have several reactions to that. We can resist it. This is what Stephen pointed to when the Jewish leaders were resisting the teaching God was doing through him to them. We can grieve the Holy Spirit because we give ascendance to what is from the devil rather than what is from God. We grieve him. He is a person that can be grieved. We can quench what he has to say, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And we can blaspheme what we have called the unforgivable sin. But we can also be born again by the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Nicodemus says, "Now wait a minute, that's a head scratcher. How can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born again?" Well, you must understand, Nicodemus, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit is where the activity of salvation takes place. So in this text that we have, this paragraph, if you will, the first thing we're told is do not quench the Spirit. Now this is a term which has in its mind, in view, a fire. Now as early as I can remember, the most important fire that you would ever be involved with is when you are on it, when you are on fire. And we want to deal with that rather quickly, don't we? Most of us do. We don't intentionally douse ourselves with a flammable liquid in our right mind and set ourselves on fire. But we can accidentally be on fire. And we're told to do what? Well, yeah, you put it out, but we have to do something specifically to put it out. Stop, drop, and roll. We're not playing. If you're on fire, you want to put that out. I remember walking into St. John's Hospital in Springfield, and I was visiting someone who had heart surgery. I was coming out. The guy was coming in his coveralls. And I mean, they were grimy. And I thought, as I was meeting him on the sidewalk, I thought, whoa, dude, clean up a little bit before you go in because there's people that can get sick here. And I thought, my second thought was, after I stopped being a Pharisee, was, I wonder where he's going and what he's doing. And I walked past him, and I didn't think too much about it, but curiosity got the better of me, and I thought, I wonder who that is. And when I turned around and looked, the whole back of his coveralls had been burned off. He had grease on his coveralls, as I found out later, and he had backed up to a salamander heater, one of those big tube heaters, and he caught himself on fire. And by the time he drop, stopped, rolled, or somebody else helped him, he had lost his coveralls from his belt down to his boots and his legs. Well, they didn't look too good. We can do this to the Holy Spirit. We can smother the Holy Spirit. We can become so involved in even good things that when the Spirit wants to lead us, we're out of touch. It can happen so easily. I'm not your football fantasy type of guy. I'm not. I wouldn't do that. I'm not smart enough to know how to do that. And if I started doing it, I'd get addicted to it, and it'd be awful. I can go home. I don't know if this would even happen today. How far are we in the season? We're about done with football season?
It's the last game.
Last games today. All right. So let's say the Packers are playing. Are they playing?
Yeah.
Okay. And the score is going to be... I don't know. I can sit here, I can stand here, I can go through this scripture with you this morning. And the Holy Spirit can, because He speaks, say something to me about how I use my time. And I can remember, because He brings things to our remembrance, that there is someone I need to write a note to. A note of encouragement. Share a scripture. Help someone along. And by the time I get done with one of my favorite meals that Shirley has cooked for me because she loves me, the thought can enter my mind. The Packers are playing. And what can I do? Instead of reaching for a note and a pen, I reach for the remote and I turn on the one-eyed God. And before I know it, we're looking for a Hallmark movie. Nothing wrong with them. Shirley and I can stand there and hold each other's hands and reminisce what 50 years ago was like. And we can look at each other and just, oh, isn't it so wonderful to be married? And then, because I have taken advice from Brother Lowell, you always take a nap in preparation for going to bed. That makes complete sense to me right now. So I snooze. Shirley could come and go. Wouldn't even know it. Because I'm meditating. And what has happened to what the Holy Spirit motivated me to do during church? Here's what I say. Oh, I can do that tomorrow. And I have just smothered the Holy Spirit. Doing what I want to do before I do what He has told me to do. This happens all the time. Every day. Every week, to everybody here, without exception, because we are all frail, and there is none who fully obey what the Spirit has to say, because we leak. That's the reason God tells us through Paul to the Ephesian church, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Why? I mean, if you're full, you're full, right? We leak. We offend Him. And we need to go back and renew. Does that happen to you? Do you smother the Spirit? You may not think you do. Just ask someone who loves you, who knows you, and they'll give you a true answer to that question. Then we are not to treat prophecies with contempt. We're not to be contemptuous with the Holy Spirit. You ever been in a courtroom or watched a reenactment of a courtroom on television and you hear a judge say, I'm going to hold you in contempt. What's going on when that happens? The judge cannot get the person to shut up, to show respect, to listen, and therefore be worthy of the judge being contemptuous with you. And here we are being contemptuous of the Holy Spirit. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you do. And I'm going to prove it right now. You ready? Anybody want proof of this? Here it comes. Ready or not. Ready, set, grow. Okay. If I'm preaching and the Holy Spirit points something out to you that I did not intend, but He did. And when He did, you know it, but the first thing you think about is what your spouse is doing wrong. You have just been contemptuous to the Holy Spirit. When God brings you under conviction and you think about somebody else's life, you have just been contemptuous to the Holy Spirit. Look at Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from His love, any participation of the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, another translation says, but in humility count others more significant than you. In the last argument you had with someone, what did you want to point out to them that they were completely correct in their assessment of what you were doing? Or did you want to point out what you thought they were doing wrong? You know, an argument is nothing more than two people trying to get the last word in first. Winning the argument. The Holy Spirit can come through someone who loves you and point out something that he would think you need to change and work on, and the first thing you do is accuse the other person of something they're doing wrong. Transference, compensation, both evidences of pride. The Holy Spirit is really good about using someone close to us to point out something we need to grow in. I can remember in our second church, I felt the Lord had called me there to help straighten out the church. That was my first mistake, well, among others. The elders we had were quite a bunch. One did not believe in the miracles of the Bible. This is a conservative church. One was on probation for I forget what number of drunken driving. His wife had to drive him everywhere he couldn't because he had been caught drunk driving so many times. You can see where this is going. One didn't know what he believed. And the other one had to leave ministry because of theft at a hardware store. That was the group I had to work with. And when I went, I was sure God wanted me to help them get out of their sin. We went on our first men's retreat. And I had everything laid out. And the guy who was the drunk came to me and said this: "You're not a very humble person, are you?" And my first thought was, "Hey, buddy, let me tell you who has a problem." But that wouldn't have been the Holy Spirit talking. The Spirit wanted me to listen, not talk. And then over the process of the next 4 years, the Holy Spirit, over and over, knocked at my door to show me and help me start the process, which I'm still in, to get out of pride. All of us, this week, will manifest pride in some area. And the Holy Spirit would like to call you on it. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And that person you would like to straighten out you, I just read, are to consider better than yourself, more worthy of honor. Man, we don't live like that, brethren. We do not live like that because we are so sure we're better than the person we're criticizing. And that has to be offensive to God beyond what we can imagine or describe. Then it says, if that's not enough, test everything. That's a word which describes in its original intent someone who takes an object, usually a precious metal or metal of any kind, to a smelting furnace to melt it down and get all the impurities out of it. Test, dokimazo, to refine by fire. So when someone says that they believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through them, we're not to chunk it out the door as if, no, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that anymore. We're to test what's being said. Now, what are we tested against? Well, we have the schematic for what real Christianity. Right here. If what is being said matches what has been written, then we know it's okay. But if it doesn't match, chunk it. That's the reason the next thing it says is hold on to what is good. This is a term that describes the strength of the grip. Hold on to what the Spirit has said. Don't let it go. As I age, I often will say to Shirley, help me remember too. And I've always prided myself on having a great memory. I still have a really good memory. It's just getting shorter. Now we're in lists. I remember one time when Ben was just little. So it started way back when. Shirley sent me to the store for 3 items. I got 2 items. And I couldn't remember the third. She had said, let me give you a list. I said, I don't need a list. I have a good memory. I got 2 of the things picked out, and I'm thinking, what's the third one? I don't dare call. I'm walking up and down every aisle, looking at every item in the store, trying to get some wisdom on which one I'm supposed to buy. I am not calling. And Ben, in his wisdom, when he saw me frustrated, going to have to call Dad, okay? He says, Dad, I know your problem after we went and got the one after I called Shirley. That was before cell phones, so I couldn't do this. I had to go to the front desk and be completely humiliated, asking the store clerk, could I please use your phone to call my wife? I forgot 1 of the 3 items she gave me. He says, sure, that's fine. Going back and getting it, Ben pulled on my shirt and says, hey, Dad, I know what the problem is. Now, when someone looks at you and says, I know what your problem is, you better get ready. Put your steel-toed shoes on. It's coming. Dad, I know what your problem is. And I said, what? Your brain has too much room in it. How's that for somebody calling you an airhead? Hold on to what is good. Make a list if you have to. Write it down. Underline it in your Bible. Put a bookmark in your Bible where that verse was lifted off the page by the Holy Spirit. Keep track of it, especially those times when the Spirit says something you don't like or you think you're better. You better mark that one down. And let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Growing up, we just got the television. It was a lot after other people got theirs, but we had it. And Dad set up a little place so this little Zenith television could sit. And we all watched what he wanted to watch. And it was only two programs. For some reason, he loved Gunsmoke, James Arness, all of that, you know. And he liked Hee-Haw. I'm dating myself. Anybody know what Hee-Haw is? Oh, you do? Oh, you're right with me then. Hee-Haw. Buck Owens and the Buckaroos. You remember them? Buck Owens had this weird way of singing. He'd work his mouth sideways and stuff. And you know, like he was chewing something while he was singing. Anyway, one of Dad's favorite songs was this. And he just slapped his knee. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. And Dad would start laughing and he'd slap his knee. I think there's wisdom in this song. If you've got a tiger by the tail, hang on because the other end bites. Yep. If you're dealing with the devil, who is likened to a roaring lion in God's Bible, hang on to what's good. And shun what is evil. Be done with it. Walk away. The Spirit will put things into your mind that remind you of what you're supposed to do when you are facing a temptation. Grab your hat and run. Flee the sinful desires of youth. Don't stand around and say, I can handle this. No, you can't. We will always compromise before we allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. That's just who we are. Might as well admit it and go on. If you can't handle, and we're not supposed to handle, impurity, then there's a lot of times we better be turning the television off. If my grandmother would come back from the dead and see what is on television now, compared to when television first came out, she'd be jumping up trying to grab someone and smash the television. We are not getting better, brethren. We're getting worse. And it's no wonder the world does not listen to us because we look just like them. And I live at that address. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm letting the Holy Spirit speak to me like He does. There are some things we need to allow the Holy Spirit to take out of our life. Yeah, we know this, the things that are normally there. You know, we're not supposed to be idolaters. We get that. But we don't have a fat little pudgy guy sitting on our mantle. That's not what God's talking about with us. He's talking about things like greed. Wanting more than you need. It's greed. Idolatry is what God calls it. Amazing reality, what happens when the Holy Spirit is allowed to say what He wants to say, when He wants to say it, to whom He wants to say it, and we all agree with Him, said, Lord, change me. Everyone knows this is the truth. But we're already trying to figure out ways to squirm out from underneath it. I have spent a lot of time sitting where you're sitting and remembering a word that wasn't pronounced right from the original text, and not listening to what was being said and taught. That arrogant pride rearing its ugly head. I don't get to choose what the Holy Spirit says, through whom He says it, when He says it, in the way that is best for that person that He chose to say it through. I just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can remember being in formation in the service, and our captain would come on Monday morning as soon as it's light and we can have formation and inspection, and he would stand up there and brag about his exploits over the weekend with a different woman. When he passed me on the sidewalk, what did I do? Oh, you wretched sinner. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because you don't get to pick and choose when the person speaking to you is over you. Brethren, the Holy Spirit's over all of us. It's His church. He's in here working. And we are to listen up and respond. Yes, sir. Interesting. I found it. There are four major words that are used in the New Testament for prayer. We translate prayers, four different words. And one of them is a proper type of prayer in which you say, yes, sir. Sir. It's not rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. It's not what we're talking about. He is Sir. He loves us. But just because He loves us doesn't mean He's changed the site of His throne. We need to listen to Him and respond to Him in faith. Easy to do? No. I'm going to tell you, it's impossible to do on your own strength. So what do? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Here's what we do. Ephesians 1, 15. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Well, what did he pray for? He's going to tell us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit, capital S, of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having your eyes and your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. That power is like the mighty power that he used in raising Jesus from the dead. We do not need to fear when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, because we have unlimited power from God to overcome what he wants us to overcome, persevere in what he asks us to sustain, and not worry about the results of what we're going through, because he's in charge of it. His greatness, no one can fathom. As we put this into practice, be cautious to listen for the Holy Spirit's voice. Like Elijah, we may find that he doesn't shout. He whispers. Remember, he comes up behind and says, "Here is the way. Walk in it." When you're God, you don't need to shout. You just need to tell the truth. And as believers, we don't need to listen for thunder. We need to listen for truth. Because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. Now, something very practical. What's the Spirit's first name? What's the Spirit's first name? Holy. Holy. God said, "Be holy as I am holy." For without holiness, what will never happen? You'll never see the Lord. Be friends with the Holy Spirit, because his holiness will rub off on you if you let him. Amazing reality. Thank you, Lord, for the time to study and be reminded in a simple way. We don't need to make this difficult. Very simple. You talk, we listen, we obey, and the rest is up to you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being a part of our life and not giving up on us. How many times you probably say of us, "How long will I put up with them?" And yet here you are, still speaking, still comforting, still urging, still teaching, still helping, still comforting. The list goes on. Thank you. Thank you. May we not offend you. Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. And help us walk in the light as you are in the light, so we can have fellowship with each other as we have fellowship with you. May this be a mark of the Forest Bible Church. In your name I ask this and wait for your answer. Amen.